Well, today I would like to begin a series talking about the forever family. In today's society where forever seems like it's unattainable, a lifetime of love and relationship seems almost unimaginable. But I believe, and I will hopefully demonstrate through the study of Scripture in the next few weeks, that it is God's plan. And I believe it starts with a mother. And so today, to add to what anything I may say, and actually probably supersede anything that I may say, I have invited my mom. So mom, if you would come on down. And she is going to help to share a little bit about what a mom does. Is your microphone on? So, this is my mother, Faye. Would you guys welcome my mother, Faye, please? Now, Mom, you shared with me last night, I think we should open with a little bit of words of wisdom that you shared with me last night about, you have an acronym for mother.
I do. Can y'all hear my heart beating? That's all I ask. When he put this on me, I said, will they be able to feel how fast my heart is beating? First of all, I have to tell you, he is a brave man. He really doesn't have any idea what I'm going to say. So he didn't look at him. I just told him what I had. So he's a good son.
Well, sorry, technical note. Is the echo still on from the... No, okay. It is from up here.
Do I stop talking?
You're fine.
Okay. Well, when I think about mothers, I always like to try to think of things that I like to do or that I did, whether it be right or wrong. So as for the M in mother, I said make sure you tell your children every day that you love them, because sometimes we forget they're going through hard times too. We think we've got it bad at work, and we have things going on, and we're busy. But our children are going through the same things. And I found that a lot with my children, because I would just talk about how busy I was, and then you start talking to them, and you realize they are feeling a little unloved, too. So that's one of the things I always said, is to make sure you tell them that you love them. And they always just offer new opportunities to them. You know, music, sports, keep them busy. That's one of the things, too, that you want to do is, as far as the O, is open your house up and your home up to their friends. When we replaced our carpet, the man said he had never seen such worn-down carpet in his life. And I said, I cannot tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of children have run through this house as a children and as teenagers, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And sometimes, yeah, the house was messy and dirty, but it was worth it, every bit of it. And then, this is not going to be a very popular one to the young kids, but I'm sorry I'm going to say it. Take away their electronics. We need more face-to-face with our children. Actually, the electronics are stealing from our families. If you ever look in the back of your phone and your electronics, there's a reason there's a bite out of the apple. Look at the back of your electronics. There's a bite out of there. To me, that means something.
Because apple is the forbidden fruit.
Absolutely. Oh, I thought, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to
say
that.
Well, not everybody has Apple. Some people are smart and have droids.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, but, and I do believe that. I think in today's society, boy, even we as adults, I had an older lady come into the store the other day, and she said, how many times does your phone ring? Oh.
Can you help me?
Okay. And I said, oh, I don't know. And she says, my phone may ring one day a week. Other than that, it's dinging. Nobody wants to hear your voice. They just want to type on there what they want you to hear. And so they're not giving you a chance to really respond back. They don't want to hear your voice. They don't want to hear whether you're hurting inside. It's just typing it in and pushing send. That's sad, I think. H is just to hold on to them for as long as you can. The sad thing is we forget sometimes. They're only going to be with us for a short period of time. I mean, I remember when my children started high school and the principal stood up and said, these next 4 years are going to be the fastest years of your life. And then we went, we got plenty of time. And next thing we know, we're sending our children away to college. And it's so true. But in that also, I think when we talk about holding on to our children, we also have to let go. And that's really a hard thing to do because you have mothered them, you've nourished them, you've taken care of them, you've given them your advice all these years, and all of a sudden they become adults. And boy, is that hard for you to say, you're an adult now and you can make your own decisions. That's really hard to do.
So it's time you let go.
Not yet. Not you. No, that's hoping. Other people actually.
Other people.
I'm sorry.
Losing your microphone.
I know my ears are funny, I guess.
You want this right in my
head. I'm not a good speaker. Okay.
All right. You good?
Yeah. enter each day with a prayer for your children and with your children. Now, I know everybody's busy, and that's hard to do sometimes, but that, I think, is really, really an important thing for our children to know that no matter what's going to happen to them that day, Mom and Dad has prayed with them, and they can get through it, and they can do it. And I think that is just really, really an important thing. And R is to... is to remember that they are a gift from God. They are priceless. We forget that sometimes. We get so busy and we just think, you know, but actually they're a guest in our home. They really are. They're just a guest in our home. And we really do need to respect them and show them and just let them know that that they are priceless. I always used to say to my Sunday school class, if somebody gave you a golden goblet, would you misuse it? No. And that's exactly with our children. They're like a piece of gold to us. They're priceless, and we need to show them with respect and love.
One of the mothers, there's a lot of mothers, and as I looked at the Bible and I looked at what is the Bible, how does the Bible demonstrate motherhood? There's so many examples. And after you and I had talked and we had shared about some of the ideas that we were going to talk about today, I decided to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because minus the electronics, I can't imagine Jesus spending too much time on electronics, but all the other things fit. The concern, the prayer, the watching. And I can imagine what it must have been like to have this unique baby and foreigners are coming and worshiping him, and it's just knowing that he was somebody special and watching him go from just like that infant to the toddler to next thing you know, he is on the cross in just a blink of the eye. And so three stories about Mary, I think, that kind of demonstrate motherhood. If you have your Bibles and would turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. It's a story that I believe tells Mary's heart. The very first thing that I want to see about the example of motherhood and through Mary is concern. Mothers have concern. Beginning in verse 41, it says this: every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was within their company, they traveled for a day, and they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem and looked for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at the understanding and his answers. Verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus is in the role that he was brought to earth for. He's at his father's house. He's learning. He's teaching. He's sharing his heart and his father's heart. And I love, though, the mom and Mary coming and saying, "I have been anxiously..." Now, if you look in the Greek, it means, and if I could kind of give you the Southern Indiana version of it, "I've been pulling my hair out. I have been going nuts. I am crying. I am sleepless. I am full of stress. And if you weren't the Son of God, I would kill you right here and now." Kind of the old Bill Cosby. "I brought you into the world. I will take you out." What were you thinking? But there is this concern and this heartfelt love and protection. And I believe that it's a natural thing that occurs with all mothers. And Mom, I've asked you to kind of share a little bit about your thoughts about being a mom and the concern that you have for kids.
Well, when I think about concern, and I think about when I became a new mom and a first-time mom, and I was so excited. All I ever wanted to be was a mom. I love children. I've always loved children. And I was blessed with Jason as my first one 44 years ago. And when he was born, he weighed 4 pounds and 3 ounces. And then he went down to 3 pounds, 9 ounces. 44 years ago, they didn't have a whole lot of things then to take care of little babies like this. They wouldn't let me hold him. They kept him in the incubator. I could put my hands through and rub his little hands. Every once in a while, they would let me take him out and hold him. Not very often. Now then, they let you hold him all the time. My concern was, is my baby going to live? And so I had an old doctor, Dr. Henry Rushi. I don't know if any of you, well, most of you are too young. I said, "Dr. Rushi," I said, "you know, is he going to be okay? Is he going to be all right?" And he just looked at me in a very gruff way, and he said, "Faye, either these babies make it or they don't." Wow. I started praying, you guys. My husband and I started praying. My whole family started praying. What had happened was is that I had a hole in my umbilical cord, and all the nourishment was going to me instead of him. So he was like little bones with skin wrapped around him. He wasn't real pretty. I'm sorry.
That hasn't changed much in 44 years.
But he was mine. I didn't care. I thought he was the most beautiful. I look at baby pictures of him, and I think, oh, he was scary. But to me, he was precious. I mean, he was absolutely the most beautiful baby in the world.
And no, we did not bring pictures. So.
No, I started to, but I didn't think that would be very nice. But anyways, a lot of prayer. My first Mother's Day, I remember we could only go visit him a certain period of time. And we always got together with my family on Mother's Day. And I remember sitting holding his little baby's feet. And I'd say, "This is his feet. Aren't they precious? Look at his little feet." And that's all I could hold on my first Mother's Day. But with a lot of prayer. And I'm kind of like Mary is to a certain extent. God had a plan for Jason. Even at that moment when he laid there fighting for his life, I think God had a plan for Jason Davis. He really did. Just one other little story. When he was about 6 years old, Jason has had severe asthma. I mean severe. Everybody says, "Oh, yeah, my child had asthma." But no, you don't know what severe asthma is. And he could turn purple within seconds. And so one night he woke up, came to the room, and he would just could not breathe. And so we took him into the hospital. My husband and I took him, but then we usually would get a shot of adrenaline, and we could take him home. So we took the kids with us, and he didn't get any better. So my husband had to leave to take the children to his parents' house, and I was there by myself. And the doctor came in, and no matter what they did, for 3 hours they fought to get him. Well, we usually say we want color in him. We was trying to get color out of him because he was blue, almost black. And the doctor came in. He never left all night long, and he came in, and he said, he shook his head, and he said, "Mrs. Davis, we've done everything we can." Whew. Mama hit the floor, and I started praying. And I looked at the nurse, and I said, "I wished I could breathe into him. I want him, I want my breath to give him breath." And then I stopped and thought, "Dummy, the Lord will give him breath." And that's when I started praying. And you know what? God gave him breath. Within probably 30 to 40 minutes, the nurse went and got the doctor. She came back and he said, "Wow, this is really an improvement. He's getting some, you know, the color is going out." And he said, "Wonder what happened?" And the nurse said, "I know what happened, a mama's prayers." So that's my concern. And every time I think of stories like this and I think about my son as a minister to you all, it just blesses my heart, because I knew at the very beginning that God had something really important for Jason to do in life. And it was to be here with you, I think.
Sometimes when I preach a little long, I think they wish I could lose some air. No. We as children, we take this for granted that moms do this, these things. And one of the things that I know about you and I experienced as a child, and I see as in the example of Mary with Jesus, is that mothers are an encouragement to their children. Now, they're encouragements to their children, but sometimes when the children don't want to be encouraged. And so and this is one of the things that I love about the Bible, is that it tells these stories that kind of don't always paint this like really super pretty picture. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 2. Many of you may know this story. This is the story when Jesus and his mother goes to a wedding. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples, and they had been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' And Jesus replies, 'Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come.'" Now, being a mother, I can see her just patting him on the leg, like, "Silly boy, you don't know." Turns to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And he goes on to perform this miracle. And there's this moment in there that I think about mothers and their children. That's kind of what moms do. Mamas are the mama bird that kind of takes the bird. And it's all real comfy in the nest. I mean, life is good. You sit around, mom brings you food, it's comfortable. I mean, the thought of jumping out is just kind of scary. But mama bird pushes the bird out, the bird flaps his wings, say, "Hey, this is really cool." Sometimes they go back to thank mom, sometimes they don't. Unless you're like a football player, because then you always thank mom, right? Dad threw football with you every day, explained to you a 3-4 defense, but you score that touchdown, what do you say? "Thanks, mom." Because it was the mom who drove him to practice. It was the mom who made sure he ate and had enough to drink and cleaned his clothes, cleaned the uniform, and made sure he took a bath after practice so that the girls didn't run away. And it was mama that did that. And so moms are there about encouragement. And so I know I could tell some stories about how you've encouraged me, but share some stories about your perspective as a mom and what it means to encourage your kids.
Well, one of the things that you guys, all three of my children would say, Mom, what do you think we should do? What do you think we ought to do in life? You know, and what was my number one answer?
You told me to be a dentist.
What?
You should have had great hours. They make good money.
No. I said, I don't care if you dig a ditch. This is what I said. I said, but you just make sure it's the best ditch that's dug and that you do it to the glory of God. And that was my patent answer every time. Even when they was going to college and everything, you know, they had to make that decision. I couldn't make that decision for them. But the one thing that I wanted to encourage them is no matter what they did their best, but they did it to the glory of God. And so far, nobody's digging a ditch. But I did have something else down there. And one of the other things that I think when your children sometimes get to the point that they think they're a little bit smarter than you are. And sometimes, and most of the time, they are. But I think sometimes we just have to remind them that they are not only our children, but they're children of God. And so that makes them, if it doesn't make them responsible to us, then that puts the responsibility back on them to be responsible to God. And one of the things that I was very, very fortunate is that my children had a tendency to surround themselves with Christian friends. And boy, is that really, really important. As far as encouragement, my son probably was more encouragement to me sometimes than I was to him. Jason had Bible studies at Burger King before school. And the teachers would say, I'd go in to get a cup of coffee, and there sits Jason leading a Bible study. He's just always had that heart to love the Lord. He always wanted to do what was right. When he went away to college, I cried all the way there and all the way back. And somebody said, oh, it's sad when you send your son away. I said, I didn't send my son away. He wasn't just my son. He was my friend. And he was. He really was. I came home one day. We lived about half a block from school. And I came home from lunch just bawling. My boss had bawled me out. I wasn't going to go back to work. And Jason was there. And I said, I can't go back. You know, he did this and everything. And he listened to me. And he said, I got to go back to school, Mom. Okay. He walks out of the room. He comes back. He lays the Bible down in front of me. And he said, Mom, there's not a page you turn to in that book that won't give your answer today. Wow. I opened the book. I got my answer. And I went back to work. So sometimes it's not just us as parents encouraging. Our children are constantly encouraging us. I could tell you 1,000 stories on this child. Also, with my children, all three of them. One time, we thought that I had ovarian cancer, and the doctor said, I don't know if I should talk about this up here, but my ovaries were the size of a baseball. And so that's why they thought I had cancer. And so my youngest son, he wrote me back and he said, Mom, I just want you to know that I have given this to the Lord and I have prayed that he will shrink those puppies. That's what he has on the other one. Shrink the little puppies. And I thought, I'll take that, you know? All right. So when I went in that I was going to have ovarian cancer. Whew. That was a scary thing. I had three beautiful children with Amy there, praying, sitting there, holding my husband's hand and saying, Mom, we're going to do this together. And when they came out, they said, for some reason, those were the size of a little acorn. God had shrunk those little puppies.
Well, as you told your story earlier, we were demonstrated how to pray of you. And you were an encouragement to us that through the years that we had a lot of adversity and we had things that we had to come across that mm-hmm. you demonstrated that she was a mother who, as she said earlier, you enter into prayer, but it wasn't a secret prayer. It wasn't something that she just talked about, but along with our dad, that you demonstrated as parents that encouragement to always seek the Lord and things. So that's where we learned that from.
I have one other thing I'd like to say about my mom.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We went through a very difficult time when we lost the father and my husband. And at one time I was trying to go back to work. And I wanted to tell you why I am the way I am. It's because of my mother. And I lost it at work. And my boss said, "Do you want me to take you home?" And I said, "No. Take me to my mama." And she lived in a little apartment with sliding doors. And my boss walked in with me. And as I walked in, my mom was sitting there with the Bible open. And I said, "Mama." She said, "Oh, honey, I've just been reading the story of Job. And you're going to be okay." And my boss about lost it. And at that point, I trusted my mom. And my mom was right. I was going to be okay. And so was our family. I won't say anymore. That's it.
You're doing great. The story, and I remember that. I remember going to my grandmother's, often standing at that glass door and looking in and seeing her reading. Sometimes she was in her 80s, and sometimes she'd kind of nod off. She called it long prayers, but we knew what she was sleeping. She said, "Oh, honey, I was just praying." Your teeth were hanging out, Grandma. But but it was... What you're describing there is learning from your mother that you then demonstrated to us and that we are hopefully passing along is the third characteristic of what motherhood is demonstrated by Mary, and that is faithfulness. Being faithful. Faithful to the Lord, faithful to your family, faithful to your children. There's a lot of reason why Mary could have walked away. To think about her son, and her son was standing up and saying some pretty wild things, and people were not liking him. And there's even a time when she and some of the other children went and was like, "Okay, Jesus, you need to come home. Like, we need to have a family get together." And he's like, "Nope. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. These are my family." And she remained faithful to him, and I cannot imagine what it was like. But in John chapter 19, verse 25, we see a picture that Christ is on the cross. And remember, he's already gone through the suffering of a beating. It says that many of them wouldn't have even recognized him. But it says this in verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And in that moment, you see this heart of a mom, a faithful to the end. No matter what your children are going through, whether it's the worst thing in their life or it's the biggest success in their life, moms are there. And would you share with us, Mom, about some of your feelings about the role of moms and their faithfulness to their kids?
Well, I think I used to always say to my kids, "I'm doing the best I can." You didn't come with an instruction book. But that was wrong, because they did come with an instruction book. It's called the Bible. And there were times that their dad and I would really have to dig in there, because sometimes we didn't understand what they was going through. They didn't understand us. I was a mean mom. I really was. I was just tricked, Mom. Let me put it that way.
Can I amen that?
We're in yes.
church. Okay, amen.
Amen.
It. Amen. Preach it, girl.
My children never went to a prom without their mom and dad. We always chaperoned. They never went to an after graduation. Mom and dad was there.
We still found ways to get in trouble, though.
Yeah.
We did. I don't want to tell you that.
But I guess that faithfulness was to my children and to God, and not that I didn't trust them. And I think that in our faithfulness is to have faith in our children and to trust them. And you really have to let go and really trust them with all your heart and your soul. But you have to tell them you trust them. As they would leave the door, they never left without hugging and kissing their mom and dad. Even as adults, I mean, as teenagers, if they was with a date or no matter what, they hugged and kissed us. And I always said, have a good time, and I know you'll be good. Put them on a guilt trip, kids. But, and I think through this, we have to show our children the faith that we have in God. And sometimes that's not always easy. Sometimes we get busy and we forget to let our children know that our Heavenly Father is the only one that we can actually turn to. And there's been a lot of things in our lives, Jason and my other children also, that, you know, there's sometimes in life it brings you to a screeching halt. And when that happens, your faith better be there. And you better tell your children, you're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Because that's the only thing at that time that you have to hold on to is your faith and being supportive of their faith also. I don't think I said anything else. And one of the things I think that, I guess as a mother, and it's so hard sometimes because we're just human. And we constantly want to be that good person. We want to be the good mom. We want to be, let them know. But I hope that I have instilled in my children that it's not just your family that you show your faith to, but it's to everybody around you. I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning, and I thought, wow, that's really a good lesson. He said, when you go to a restaurant and somebody brings you a glass of water, just don't say thank you. Thank you so much for this, or thank you for putting it there. That's a better place. We never know what and who we're going to touch. And one of the things we used to, oh, yeah, when they went to Centrifugation Camp, we went with them, too. there was a camp called Centrifuge, and it was up in Tennessee. And one of the things that was so impressed me, and I think the children too, the shirt read, your life may be the only Bible that anybody will ever read. And I think we should all take that to heart, is that is so true. And I remember when I retired, everybody came up to me, and I had no idea nobody was watching me or paying any attention to me, what we went through during my life, that difficult time. And they came up and they just said, you don't know what an example you were to us, that you handled it the way you did. And so we as Christians do have a responsibility to show our faith and exemplify our faith constantly, whether it's to our children or to our neighbors. I have to tell about Marianne. I had a neighbor that our kids knew that if I didn't catch him doing something, my neighbor Marianne would. So you have to take care of your neighbor also. So, and they would, because Marianne had small children, so she would be up sometimes, and she would see. You know, I saw the kids get in a little bit late last night. And I tell them, Marianne told me you got in late, you know. So, yeah, it's being faithful, but it's being faithful to our, to everyone. And is that what you wanted? Is that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay.
I just want you to share your heart.
That is my heart.
You know about being a mom a bit more than I do. So that's why I asked you to come and share.
Well, I do. If this is my last words.
I doubt it, but yeah.
No. Is this it? And then I'll go sit down.
We can turn that microphone off. I'm just going to let you know. I'm just joking.
Well, I have this. This is my mother's Bible when she went to the nursing home. Now, I was going to bring the one she had, but God love it, it was just shredded. Where she had, the back was off. The little pages were all written on. They were all crumpled around. And I have it in a bag, and I didn't want to take it out. So I brought this Bible. And if I am a good mother, it's because I had a good mother. If Amy is a good mother, it's because she had a good mother. And it just, we have a legacy that we are responsible for, ladies. And that legacy is to continue what our mamas have taught us. And I can remember, and I look back now, the things that my mother gave up for me. She used to say, oh, no, I don't like that piece of chicken. You eat that piece. You know, she liked that piece of chicken, but she wouldn't eat it. And we as mothers do that for our children. And that example just keeps on. And I want to just read this scripture from, just because it's my mama's Bible. And this is in Psalms 27:14. And it just says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's really just about that's what we have to do. And one more thing. I think one of the most important things in today's life is that we have to teach our children that they are responsible for their actions. They have to face the consequences. And in today's society, oh, this is a good story. one time... Jason,
there's a battery life on that.
One time, Jason, he was always leaving things at home, and I would sign him, and he'd say, "Mom, bring it down. I left this home." And one time, he was going on a field trip. This is probably about the third or fourth time he'd done this. Teacher called and said, "Faye, Jason's left his field trip slip at home. Can you bring it down?" Wow. I said, "No, I'm not going to bring it." She said, "But Faye, he'll have to sit in the office all day." I said, "Yeah, I'm not going to bring it. Mean mom." I didn't take it, and he sat in the principal's office all day. You know what? He never, ever forgot a permission slip. One other example. He comes home, he's so mad, Mrs. Stewart had pulled him out of the line, made him go to the back of the line at lunch. And I said, "Well, why did she pull you out?" He said, "Well, I was talking." I said, "Was she supposed to be quiet? Remember this?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Then you deserved it." So I sat down, and I wrote a thank you note to Mrs. Stewart. And I said, "Thank you so much for caring for my son, that you took time to correct him." And he was so mad. And she was so shocked. Okay, I won't say more.
When I think about, you weren't a mean mom. You showed concern and you encouraged us and you were faithful to us to do exactly what you talked about today, which was passing along a heritage, a legacy. And we grew up, and resources were not abundant. And I'm reminded of the disciples' words when they were asked for offerings. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give to you." And they shared Christ with others. And if I could encapsulate my childhood, and I believe the role of motherhood is just that. Is whatever it is that you leave, whatever it was that you gave, it was the passing along of Christ that was most important, and which I am most thankful for. And Mom, thank you for sharing with us today. I love you.
I have one other thing to say. Okay, I stand before you this morning as a mother, as a mother-in-law, as a stepmother, and a grandmother. And I got to tell you, I just love the word mother. I'm finished. Turn me off. All right, love you.